listening to Steve and Vincent live on the Freedom Message on bbsradio.com. Thank you for tuning in. So it continues to be nonstop excitement. One event after another, in this nonstop freedom train that is rolling. Just steamrolling forward. Today the campaign is in Michigan. There was a Republican debate today. A Republican debate on the economy, sponsored by MSNBC and CNBC. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have a guest on the show give us a live report from the rally. And the number to call into the show, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk Ron Paul. The number is 877-270-8714. 877-270-8714. The Freedom Message with Steve and Vincent. So, this debate today, now I was not able to watch it or listen to it. Had to work, you know, make the money so I can keep doing this Ron Paul support activities. And I missed the debate, but from what I can gather by poking around here and there on the internet, And reading a few postings, it does not appear that Dr. Paul got much of a chance to say much of anything. I scanned the logs of the CNBC website, and there was not a single clip out of maybe, I would guesstimate, 20 clips that they had created archiving the show, the debate, not one which had Dr. Paul in it. So I'm going to assume that he didn't get a whole lot of a chance to speak. Now, there has been a poll, and I am going to go ahead and cast my vote. And even though I didn't watch the debate, I already know who I think won and who I would vote for and who is the best for my money. I don't think I need to tell you the name. Oh! What do we have here? The results, 77% for Ron Paul. Which candidate won the debate? Ron Paul, 77%. If the GOP primary was held today, which candidate would you vote for? Ron Paul, 78%. Which Republican candidate is best for your money? Ron Paul, 78%. Coming in a distant second at 5.5% in most categories. Appears to be either Huckabee, Thompson, or Romney. Anyway, we already knew that would happen. But it does not appear that Dr. Paul... Now, if this is the case, that he didn't really get much of a chance to say anything, I'm going to be very upset. Well, it doesn't take much for the mainstream, I should say, establishment media, because we are the mainstream, the establishment media to tick me off. But here's the situation, folks. The U.S. dollar is plunging. Everything that Dr. Paul has spoken about for over 25 years regarding the fiat currency, the debt bubble, and the insanity of our financial system is right now coming to pass. He is the go-to guy on these issues. We have a debate in which the theme is the economy and financial issues. And if he was not featured, then there is great injustice, afoot, and we need to kick up a storm about that. So we shall see. I know we're going to be getting a report. And actually, you know what? If you watch the debate, call into the show and fill me in and fill in listeners on what happened. Apparently, you can email CNBC with your feedback support about the debate at youropinion@cnbc.com, youropinion@cnbc.com. But give a call into the show because I'd like to hear from you what you felt about the debate. Again, the number is 877-270-8714. Now, I understand that there was a rally before the debate, and there will be yet another rally somewhere else in Michigan a little bit later on, and we'll see if we're able to bring any of that to you during the time that we're on the air. I'm not sure about the timing. And the live blog from CNBC, again, doesn't reference... Oh, here we go. Here's a reference to Congressman Paul. At 5:31 p.m., unions are the topic right now. Congressman Paul seems to favor them. Mm-hmm. Not much here. Not much of substance, anyway. So, because I had to work before this show, I wasn't able to really pull a whole lot together here for you. But we do have the stream from Justin.TV. But that's pretty rough. So we're not going to go ahead and play that. That's pretty rough. And then there was some stuff going on, kind of like a spin room type of a situation here. And I'm going to see if I can scan this quickly and see if there's anything with Dr. Paul in it. Nothing that I can tell. Nothing that I can see. So we're going to have somebody on for you in a few minutes here who's an assistant organizer in the Detroit meetup. And we're going to get a report from him on what happened. Now, as I understand it, there were somewhere between 100 and 150 Ron Paul supporters out in front of the debate, out in front of the event. So we're going to get a report from him on what that scene was like. I did understand there was something about an airplane flying over. So people continue to make use out of the overflights at events, as we did here in Los Angeles. I know others have done the same. On the fundraising front, we have now raised for this month so far $443,804 with a goal of $4 million by the end of the month. Do seem to be falling a little bit behind. I guess the enthusiasm for the fundraising effort kind of peaked with that end of the quarter number, but I suspect that it will heat up as it gets closer towards the end of the month as we get closer to the goal. New press release out from the campaign. We now have 30,000 YouTube subscribers. Ron Paul is top presidential contender on YouTube. Presidential candidate surpasses 30,000 subscribers on leading online video network. Congressman Ron Paul's YouTube channel reached over 30,000 subscribers on October 7th. He is the leading You Choose 08 presidential campaign channel with nearly three times more supporters than Democratic candidate and supposed internet campaign darling Barack Obama, who places second with 11,000 subscribers. Good. And speaking of YouTube, I do now have a YouTube channel, which I'd like you to go ahead and check out. Now, the best way to access it would probably be by going to my website at www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. And I have posted some archives of previous shows up there with video overlays, and I'll continue to do that. But I think the primary feature of the YouTube channel will be the video blogs, which I hope to bring to you on a semi-regular basis. So I posted my first one last night, It's a two-part, 16-minute video blog. And the theme is the fact, basically the theme is momentum and the breakout into the mainstream of consciousness, into the mainstream awareness on the part of our campaign in the recent days. And what is happening right now is this breakout. And that's the theme of the video blog. So go ahead and have a look at that. Maybe, in fact, I will play a little bit of that for you. And in the meantime, we're waiting for Jake to come on the line so that we can get him on and talk to him about what's been happening in Michigan. Of course, it's been just nonstop excitement for this campaign. I really don't know how the doctor keeps up with the pace. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Frankly, I think I'd be worn out, and I'm in pretty good shape. But you know, from what I understand, he is a little bit of a health nut. He does exercise, and he has taken good care of himself over the years. So I wouldn't be too surprised, you know, that he's maintained his health and that he's doing really great. Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, so we've got Jake on the line, and we're going to go ahead to that and find out firsthand what's going on in Michigan right now. So we should be connecting with him any moment now. If you haven't voted in the CNBC debate poll, go ahead there. The web address for that is www.cnbc.com/ID/21209903. Okay, call's coming in. Okay, we're on the line. Do we have Jake on the line? Hello. Here we go. Here, we'll try this again. All right. Do we have Jake on the line? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Is that Jake?
Yep.
All right. Good. Thanks for calling into the show. So you're on the road right now.
I'm trying to get on the road, yeah.
You hitting some traffic?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I understand there's yet another rally. Where is this one located?
It's on the University of Michigan campus, DIAG.
Okay, great. And what time is that scheduled to start?
Starts at 7. I'm not sure what time Ron Paul will be there, but that's when everyone should be showing up.
Okay, great. And so you were there for both the debate and the pre-debate rally. Where was the pre-debate rally held?
I was at the pre-debate rally. I did not attend the debate.
Okay.
It was outside the Performing Arts Center in Dearborn, Michigan. And we originally they had like a little pendant area where protesters and anyone supporting the community was supposed to be, but they eventually let us out. And we were lined along the main street there, Michigan Avenue, fine.
Good. And just about how many Ron Paul supporters were there?
It's hard to tell. I couldn't get them all in one view. I'd say 150 or so.
And was there any kind of organized support for other candidates?
I saw maybe five Fred Thompson people. And Mitt Romney had the next most, maybe 20 people or so, 25.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And so You're heading off now to a probably it sounds like a more organized rally at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, it's pretty well organized last minute, but it's pretty well organized, I'm sure.
Okay, great. And that was and Dr. Paul obviously didn't speak to you at the rally there this morning.
No.
No. Okay.
Nope.
So then this should be more of an event then. Good.
Yeah.
And that's slated to start. You said at 7.
Yeah, it starts at 7.
Oh, so that'd be in about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of running a little bit late then. How far away are you from actually arriving at the location?
I'm still about 15 minutes away.
Oh, okay. So you might actually just be arriving there when it's starting.
Yeah, people should already be there, I'm sure, right now.
Good. Now, is this the first visit of Dr. Paul to the area? Now, I know he was in Saginaw not too long ago, a week or two ago, and that was certainly an interesting scene when about 200 Ron Paul supporters had Rudy Giuliani trapped on a ferry. Coming back from the island, you didn't happen to be present for that historic moment, were you?
I was not there for that, unfortunately.
I'm sure that would have been quite something to be present for.
Quite a few people were involved, and they had a great time over there.
Good. So Detroit is certainly one of the larger meetups. I know that there's over, if I'm not mistaken, over 500 members. Now, what do you attribute the size of the Ron Paul support in Detroit to? It's not one of the places I would have said, wow, Ron Paul is going to have a huge meetup in Detroit. I don't know that I know a lot about the city of Detroit other than that it used to be the motor capital of the world. But what do you attribute that to?
Honestly, I have no idea why it would be any more support here than another city, but I just know that we have a lot of very, very passionate people, and they're hardworking, and the hard work has paid off. We're getting this message out to a lot of people.
Do you think it has something to do with the quality of the meetup leadership, the organizers?
Yeah, I guess I have to say it would. I mean, we have a lot of really hardworking people, and I'm sure there are hardworking people in other cities, I can't really say what exactly it is, but it's just any bigger than anywhere else.
Interesting, yeah. Sometimes these things are hard to pin down and attribute exactly. So, great. And now tell us about your journey into supporting Dr. Paul for president. How did that start for you?
I've been, familiarized with him probably about 7 years ago or so. I come from probably the, conservative Republican side of things, and became disenfranchised with him pretty quickly, and found myself aligned more with the Libertarian Party. And through listening to people talk about that and reading things through Libertarian Party, people would mention his name, and they'd be criticizing politicians or Congress or something, and they'd always have to add the disclaimer, except for Ron Paul, because he's different than the rest, and he's the only honest politician, and they kept saying that, and so I found myself researching him a little bit, and once you find out about Ron Paul, you stick with him. I mean, he's a principled person. You don't find that in politics very often.
Yeah, there does seem to be that tendency for people to really become a Ron Paul supporter almost as soon as they learn about him and see him. and catch his vibe. There's a certain, you know, confluence between the man and the message that I think is making this campaign particularly infectious and exciting. You know, we have the message in, but if we didn't have the man in the way that we have it embodied by Dr. Paul, it might not be quite, you know, the sensation as it was,
exactly.
You know, that has become, as they said on ABC Good Morning America, the bona fide grassroots sensation. You know, it might not be quite that, but we're very fortunate and blessed to really, truly can think of it as a blessing to have both the message and the man at the same time, which I think presents a really unique historical opportunity for those who love freedom and really want to see things change in this country. We may not get that confluence of, you know, message and man again, you know, so we need to do absolutely everything possible to capitalize on this moment, particularly right now, where I think my personal feeling and opinion analysis is that we are on the cusp of a major breakout, a breakout into the public consciousness that where we can certainly, you know, snowball, or I'd rather the analogy, you know, see a grass fire sweep the nation and carry this this thing all the way.
Yeah, I agree completely.
And it's a very exciting thing to be a part of, no question about it. So now you didn't weren't able to actually watch the debate. Did you discuss it with anybody that had seen the debate or most of it?
Well, we did actually. We went over to a little bar after the rally and caught a little bit of it, but not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. What I was able to gather is, from what I was able to see on the MSNBC website, where there were no clips out of about 20 clips, there were no clips of Dr. Paul whatsoever. That, you know, to me is really distressing if he was cut out of this debate, because to me, he is the obvious go-to guy right now on economic and financial issues. We're seeing the dollar crash, essentially. We're seeing gold shoot up through the roof. We're seeing the debt bubble implode and the inflated house values, the real estate values plummet. All of these things are symptomatic of the disease that Dr. Paul has diagnosed for 25 years now. He's the only politician in Washington that speaks on these issues at all, and he would seem to me to be the go-to guy if you're going to have a debate on financial and economic issues. If he was cut out of this one, I'm certainly in favor of a campaign to let CNBC know that they really fell flat on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, I mean, he's the go-to guy on just about every issue. And the little bit that I did see, he hit the nail on the head, just as usual, but just, you know, specific to these economic policies that you were talking about. And he has some great things to say, and just the fact that they aren't going to acknowledge these issues is, what he said. It's amazing. I don't understand how they can continue to ignore him the way they do.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to work and make sure that that's not a possibility. So you did see him get asked a question, and that's great. What was there a strong Ron Paul presence in the crowd? Could you tell?
Well, the bar was pretty much made up of people from the rally, so yeah, it was all pretty much all around Paul people.
I mean, inside the debate.
Oh, inside the debate. I couldn't get a really good idea, but he was getting a lot of applause. Probably as much, if not more, than the other candidates.
Sure.
On what was discussed.
Okay, great. Very good. Well, let's see what I could do. Is I'd love to hear a report from you on the scene at at the rally there. Okay. When you get there, how far away are you?
I'm still, I don't know, 5-10 minutes away.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go ahead and have you call in, like when you're pulling up there in parking, and call into the show, and we'll get you back on the air, and we'll get your, you know, just a little first-hand report on the scene and what's going on, and if Dr. Paul happens to be speaking, who knows, maybe you'll just hold up the phone and then people will be able to hear it. Is that something that you'd be able to do?
Possibly.
Okay.
Depending on how long my battery holds up.
Right, I understand that, yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll do the best we can. Bring people whatever information and whatever caller we can about the scene. So, do you have the number to call into the show?
Was it the same number I called earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, and we have your number too, so either way, we'll connect in about, you know, 10 minutes. If you get there earlier, then just give a call. Otherwise, I'll have Seth call you in about 10 minutes.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. Thank you so very much for calling in and filling in the blanks for us, and we'll be talking to you a little bit more later.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good. So there we have Jake, who is a Ron Paul meetup assistant organizer in the Detroit group, a very large Ron Paul group, and hopefully we'll be speaking with him in about 10 minutes to get the scene. Who knows, maybe even a little audio of Dr. Paul at the rally at the University of Michigan. In the meantime, what I'd like to do for you is play for you my, at least a little bit, of the blog that I came up with. Now, this is totally unrehearsed and totally unscripted. I had a few notes. That's about it. Just a couple of notes. It's unrehearsed, unscripted, live, raw. Actually, I wanted to edit it, but didn't have time, so I didn't even really edit it. But here it is. My comments is sort of my analysis of the current situation where we're at right now. I'll go ahead and run this for you. And probably only get through the first half of it before we get back to Jake. And then feel free to listen to the second half of it by going to Ron Paul, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com and visiting my YouTube channel. So here we go with my very first video blog. Hello, this is Stephen Vincent with the Freedom Message for Monday, October 8th. 2007. What I'd like to speak to you about today is momentum. We have momentum right now at this time, at this critical historical juncture in the history of our country and, in fact, our world. The Ron Paul Freedom Movement has gained incredible momentum. We are at the point of breaking out into the political, quote-unquote, mainstream. And we are right now in the process of transforming the political landscape of America. Now, this is something that you are doing together with Ron Paul, you and I, and everyone else who has taken up the mantle of the freedom message. We are affecting actual change in the political process, in the political life of the nation. And this is evidenced by recent coverage that we have received in the establishment media. Now, if you had told me several months back that we would receive any positive coverage in the establishment media, that I would have disputed that. I would have said, no, they're all completely bought off. They're all establishment hacks. They are all going to denigrate the freedom message, Dr. Paul, and truth in general. They will not allow someone like Dr. Paul, to be seen in a positive light. And I would have made that a blanket statement. I would have told you that trying to reach the mainstream media, or the, I should rather use the term establishment media, and use it for our purposes would be fruitless, and that we would need to follow an alternative strategy. Well, what has happened? We have followed an alternative strategy. We have used our means at our disposal, as I'm using a means at my disposal right now to communicate with you. We have used many such means to great effect, to such effect that, in fact, we have penetrated, we have penetrated the, I almost said mainstream again, I really want to shift to establishment media blockade. So we have. Now, let's see, how have we, and what is the evidence of such a statement? Well, just in the last 2 or 3 days, we've had from Joe Scarborough, Jack Cafferty, George Will, and Tucker Carlson significant statements of support. They really can't be interpreted as anything other than support for Dr. Paul and his message. Now, these are major media, establishment media figures. So I think maybe the time has come for us to distinguish between the establishment media and its employees. Now, certainly, there are those who are so bought into the system, they will simply do and say as they are told without any equivocation, and we will never get them to admit the legitimacy. And, well, I shouldn't say that. They will never willingly admit the legitimacy of the Ron Paul message or of the movement springing from that message. They won't. There are those such as, I would say, George Stephanopoulos. George Stephanopoulos would qualify as one of those. There are so many more that it wouldn't be worth listing them, but it's easy to see that there are those who have been touched by Ron Paul and his message and our enthusiasm for it. I think that there are those in the establishment media who have yearned to see the day when the American public would come alive politically and would become active and would care about what they have to say, in a sense, care about their realm, their work. I would imagine that many of them have felt somewhat disheartened that their life's work doesn't seem to really affect people, and that now that what they're doing matters to people. Finally, people care about politics again. Why? Because of the freedom message, because of Ron Paul. It took Ron Paul to make that happen, and they're recognizing it, and they're saying, you know what, this is a good thing. The sleeping giant of the American people has awoken, and they are supporting it. Now, some examples. Joe Scarborough, the other day, came on his show the second time on Morning Joe that I know of. And there may be other incidents where he has pretty much endorsed Dr. Paul. Jack Cafferty, on several occasions in the last few days, has all but endorsed Dr. Ron Paul for president. I think that these figures are somewhat limited by the position that they're in, that they're journalists and they have to be somewhat impartial, unbiased, but certainly significant statements of support from both of these major media figures. on Good Morning America yesterday morning. This statement at the top of the show by the ABC anchor saying, Ron Paul, bona fide grassroots sensation. And really saying that with enthusiasm and with meaning behind it, a bona fide grassroots sensation. That's significant. That means something. That means that either such figures are being forced to admit that this is happening and that this is the case, or they willingly have been swayed. Swayed by Dr. Paul, swayed by our enthusiasm, swayed by the evidence of the awakening sleeping giant of the American people. And this means something. George Will, now I probably would have told you, George Will is an establishment media hack. And yet, he has made significant statements saying that Ron Paul is for real. And that he asked in reference to a poll, one of the establishment polls about Iowa, where Ron Paul was not listed. He said, well, where's my man Ron Paul? My man Ron Paul from George Will. No, if you had told me even a week. Okay, so there's the end of that segment of my first video blog posted late last night. So go ahead and tune in to the rest of it by going to www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, and you'll find the link to my new YouTube channel there, and you can listen to the rest. So, just been plumbing around here on the internet a little bit while you were listening to that. And there is a little thing going on the... Let me do this. I found this. A piece on the CNBC site. Let's see. Go back. Where the so-called second-tier candidates are asked, will they support the nominee? This should be interesting. Now, I haven't heard it before. Let's go ahead and give it a spin and see what these people have to say here. I believe they're going to play a commercial first. They always do, so I'll let that go by. And then we'll see what Tancredo, Paul, and Huckabee, I think, have to say about whether or not they will support the Republican nominee, regardless of who it is. Now, I think Dr. Paul is going to say no. I don't know that he'll come out and say, no, I won't support. He'll probably say something to the effect of, it would depend on whether his positions would change in a way that reflected my values, which is limited government, constitutional government, and an end to the war in Iraq. There we go. Let's see if we can bring this up for you now. Off the CNBC website, and it's currently not cooperating, and we should have Jake back on the line for you. Soon, maybe we'll get this clip to play for you. I have to reload the page, which means they're going to play the commercial again. Oh. Okay, so we're going to wait another 10 more minutes for Jake to come back on the line. Apparently he's still stuck in traffic trying to get to the rally. So we'll get a little report before the end of the show for you on how that's going. I think it's pretty safe to say that there's going to be, 1,000 people at the rally? Seems like there pretty much always is.
You nominated the Republican Party next year?
Not right now, I don't. Not unless they're willing to end the war and bring our troops home, and not unless they're willing to look at the excessive spending. No, I'm not going to support them if they continue down the path which has taken our party down the tube. I mean, we've lost credibility. All our...
So it's buffering a little bit. Okay, I like that. I'm really pleased that he came out and said, no, I'm not going to support them, not unless they change their policies.
The civil liberties of all the American people, they have adopted the Democrats on George Bush's foreign policy of a humble foreign policy and no nation building,
okay,
and don't police the world. Then I'll support
Let me
them.
Try that by a couple of gentlemen on the right over here. Mr. Tancredo, would you pledge now to support the nominee of your party?
Let me go ahead and back that up, if I can get this really lame MSNBC player to cooperate. It's just very lame. Okay. We heard it. If I can get it to play again, I'd like to hear it again. Nice. I feel pretty good about that. As I told you earlier, I was expecting him to equivocate a little bit. And not equivocate. I take that back. To be less direct is what I was expecting. The box they were trying to paint him into there is, are you a Republican? Are you going to support the Republican Party? Are you a party man? Say so now. Prove your support for the party. Prove that you belong in the party. You are either a Republican and with us, or you are against us. That's the box they were trying to put him in. And Dr. Paul, I am pleased to say, did not. And it refused those confines, the box, and said, no, you know, I want any Republican nominee to meet up to certain standards that I have, and I am very pleased with that response. Would like to get this to play, but this thing is just a pain in the butt. Sorry, folks. Anyway, we got a little bit of that. I'll go back to the previous page and see what else we have here for you. Most of it's all addressed to other candidates. Let's see what the GOP, the economy, and you. Oh, God. The GOP, the economy, and you is the title of one of the clips here. I'm not even sure I want to hear this, but who knows. You know what? It's going to at least be entertaining. What's this clip here? It says, analyzing the GOP presidential debate with Robert Reich. Former Labor Secretary and University of California Professor Steve Moore. Okay, this is just like a round panel, a round table discussion. So we won't go there. Great. We do have something going on Justin.TV. It looks like Chris Matthews and some other talking heads sitting in front of a camera and just not really doing anything. So I also have here a speech. From the Oregon Straw Poll. Mr. Kyle Sanders, a member of the Salem meetup group, and an Oregon National Guard member who served in Afghanistan, gave a tremendous speech on behalf of Ron Paul to the Oregon GOP straw poll attendees. And this is something that happened recently, and I am frankly do not know what the results were. I think obviously we would have won, but this was on the 8th, apparently, something that slipped under the radar here. So let's hear a little bit of this.
I'm a combat veteran, currently serving in the Oregon Army National Guard. Shortly after graduation from boot camp, the attacks on September 11th occurred. My unit was deployed and I was called to serve in Afghanistan. I brought with me today these two items. This flag was flown over the Capitol building in the United States in Washington, D.C., and presented to me in my youth when I became an Eagle Scout. I took it with me to Afghanistan and flew it over Kandahar Army Airfield to remind me where I came from and why I was serving. Also, I brought with me this wonderful document. Some of you may have heard of it. It's called the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
The reason I brought both of these here today is the same reason I brought them to Afghanistan, to remind me where I came from and why I am serving. When I enlisted here in Portland in March of 2000, I raised my right hand and swore an oath. I do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Just as it is my duty to defend the Constitution, it is the duty of every American to understand the Constitution and their rights in order to fully exercise the gifts of life and liberty. I believe very sincerely every American should have a copy of the Constitution in their home and understand it. These beautiful colors are a symbol of liberty, a reminder, but the Constitution is much more than just a symbol. It is the very important gift from our founding fathers. It is the gift of enlightenment and the gift of truth. It is the result of centuries of philosophic refinement. It is the heart and soul of this great republic. And it is our guarantee of life and liberty for future generations. Although the Constitution is just a few short pages, it took 11 years in the writing. You see, the framers realized that in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, they had to ordain and establish a constitution that protected the people from the government. They realized that future generations must be protected and guaranteed the gifts of life and liberty, that the government must be formed to be accountable to the people, not the people accountable to the government. Every word in the Constitution serves to safeguard us in our life and our liberty and pursuit of happiness. Every American, as he studies the marvelous framework of the Constitution, can say with truth and pride, "This was made for me. This is my fortress. When danger threatens my life or liberty, I can take safe refuge in the Constitution. And inside that fortress, neither president nor Congress, nor armies nor mobs can enter and take that away." Today we live in a country that is far from what the Founding Fathers had envisioned. Today we have a federal department for everything. A country full of welfare dependents, a massive military-industrial complex, a healthcare monopoly, a doomed currency plagued by inflation, a multi-trillion dollar deficit. We have unconstitutional, undeclared wars, an unconstitutional, unethical tax system designed to destroy the middle class. These are all just to name a few. These are all results of disobeying the Constitution. If one carefully and thoughtfully reads the articles and amendments, they will find that there are no provisions for any of these policies or programs that created the mess we are in. We can only blame it on overzealous politicians thinking they know best by disobeying the Constitution, the uneducated public not understanding the difference, and the corrupt bureaucrats behind the scenes making money. It's that simple. Today, this great nation of ours is at a crossroads. We have a choice in front of us. Do we continue down this path, allowing the slow erosion of our country and our liberties, or do we choose to fix the problems? I'm here to tell you today, the only way to fix these problems created by disobeying the Constitution is to start obeying the Constitution and continue being it from here on out. And the first step in doing this is to...
Well, Mystic, teach it to me, please. Because I think all, Mystic, I think all I need to do is to mute my mic and put it on stereo mix. But...
Ron Paul is the only candidate that obeys the Constitution to the letter. He has an immaculate constitutional voting record. Ron Paul voted against the undeclared, unconstitutional war in Iraq. Ron Paul voted against the unconstitutional Patriot Act. He has never voted to raise taxes, not once. He has never voted for an unbalanced budget, once. Ron Paul opposed the unconstitutional federal support of the World Trade Organization, IMF, and NAFTA. He served 6 years in the Air Force as a flight surgeon. As a physician, he's delivered over 4,000 babies, almost all of them in his hometown, Lake Jackson, Texas. Ron Paul wants to bring the troops out of Iraq now. Ron Paul wants to restore habeas corpus that was taken away from us by the Military Commissions Act. Ron Paul wants to abolish the unconstitutional IRA.
Good, so I'm going to go ahead and fade this down and thank Kyle Sanders for his comments. And I have to say I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed, and I'm really glad that I played that because I think that we need more Kyle Sanders. We need more of us to develop the ability to publicly speak in such an eloquent clear way to state our case to the people, because we have Ron Paul, and him, boy, does he do a good job of it. But you know, it's going to take all of us, so we need to be more, you know, like Ron Paul and like Kyle Sanders, taking what we learned from Dr. Paul, putting it into our own words, finding our own way to communicate that to the public and to the people. So hats off to Kyle Sanders. And by the way, while he was speaking, I did find out that Ron Paul did in fact win the Oregon straw poll. 77 votes, which gave him 67%. Mitt Romney came in second with 16%. Fred Thompson third, 10%. Mike Huckabee 4%. Rudy Giuliani 2%. And John McCain 1%. So another straw poll landslide victory for Dr. Ron Paul. And we are in the process of getting a report for you from Michigan on the rally there. So as soon as we have that, we will get that to you. And in the meantime, what I'm going to do is play a little bit of this interview, which is from the day before yesterday with Dr. Ron Paul in Nashville, just before he goes on the stage. He was interviewed in Nashville, Tennessee, just before he goes on the stage to a packed house. We'll play that right now. I believe this is a local television reporter interviewing. I'm not 100% sure.
The manager okay?
How's that? Good.
Okay.
Good. You good?
It's very raw, very
raw
footage.
First of all, tell me a little bit about yourself for our viewers who don't know Ron Paul. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a congressman from Texas. I've been elected 10 times. One time I was in for four terms in the 70s and the 80s. Then I went back to my medical practice. And I'm an OBGYN doctor and love delivering babies and delivered over 4,000 of babies over the years. But I've always been interested in politics. So I went back to Congress in 97. And due to a fair number of requests, I yielded to those requests and filed for office for the presidency this January.
Now, as you know, Tennessee is...
And a note to listeners, we are coming up on the end of the hour soon, but we will be running late to see if we can bring some of this Michigan rally to you.
All the other candidates.
So stay tuned.
I talk about the old right conservatism, traditional constitutional values, sound money, no IRS, a foreign policy that used to be the Republican foreign policy of non-intervention. And I think all the other candidates, whether it's Mr. Thompson or all the rest, they all support what they call the new right, and I'm part of the old right. And some people think this sounds strange for the Republican Party, but it was sort of what George Bush in foreign policy talked about in the year 2000, you know, about a humble foreign policy and no nation building. I've emphasized that. Balanced budgets. We always talk about that, but I always vote that way. So it's a little bit different. So, yes, I've gone into Utah and had a good reception there, even though that was Romney's territory. And I think there's a lot of people in Tennessee who are still interested in a strict interpretation of the Constitution and strictly limiting the government and talking about why it's patriotic and constitutional not to get into these undeclared no-win wars.
Now, as far as your grassroots effort, tell me a little bit about your supporters and about this online movement.
Well, I can't talk about them as one group because it's very, very diverse, because freedom brings people together who have diverse ideas and diverse backgrounds, and that's the unique aspect of believing in freedom in the literal sense, because it means we're not judgmental of people, and we don't want to run their economic lives, we don't want to run their personal lives, and we don't want to fight wars overseas. So all of a sudden, people come together. So we have Republicans, and we have Democrats, we have independents, we have a large number of people who have never participated before because they have heard this message. It sounds so good. They might have believed it. They might have believed in it all along, but they just haven't had a chance to vote for it.
Real briefly, what is the goal of your candidacy? Some people have called you not more than a blip on a radar screen.
Well, they do that, but they've been trying to wish me away, like we don't exist. At the beginning, they said, well, there's a couple expert bloggers on the Internet, but it's a lot more than that. I mean, we have tens of thousands. We have 950 meetup groups.
Okay.
Very, very active. It's
so we do have Jake from the Detroit Ron Paul meetup on the line now, so we're going to go ahead and go to Jake. Hi, Jake. Are you back with us? Hello?
Yes. Sorry. I'm walking away from the crowd right now because the music got pretty loud.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming back. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we have a pretty big crowd gathered here already, and Ron Paul, they just announced that he will be here shortly. He just had an interview, and he's leaving there right now. So be starting pretty soon, but there's a lot of people here.
Any guesstimate about the size of the crowd?
Oh man, I'm horrible at estimating this kind of stuff, but I would say 500-600 maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe more than that, but there's a lot more people coming, and they keep just pouring in.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's been pretty consistently over 1,000 people at all Ron Paul gatherings ever since the Los Angeles visit. When he came here, we were about 1,100, I would say, and in every single rally he had after that throughout the Southern California area, his whole West Coast tour, there was over 1,000 people, and then we had about 1,600 in Nashville yesterday. So I think we're really on the upswing in terms of the turnout that we're seeing at Ron Paul events. And you know, I just don't even know what they're pulling at Romney or Giuliani events, if they even have them, you know. But
yeah,
it's certainly a phenomenon. We're at the level where it is a phenomenon, and the media is even admitting that it is. And it's pretty darn exciting. So is this your first real sizable Ron Paul rally gathering that you've been at?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the only other event for Michigan was the Mackinac thing. I was unfortunately unable to go to that, but this is the first one, and it's a very good experience. I'm very happy.
Yeah, and I know that when I was in the crowd, when he was here in L.A., I mean, the energy is just electric. There's this electricity, and lots of people, smiling faces, very happy. Very pleased
Absolutely.
To be there, you know, and certainly would love to have you there when they announce Ron Paul and just hear that electricity go through the crowd. I know it'll only be via your cell phone, but I'm sure listeners will be holding on. We're actually going overtime into our show. BBSRadio.com is hosting our show, and they are supporters of Dr. Ron Paul, so they're letting us go late today so that we can bring this excitement to our listeners. So hang in there, and what else can you tell us? It's an outdoor location.
Pardon me?
It's an outdoor location. Outside.
I'm sorry. Is it loud?
Yeah.
Again?
It's an outside location. Outdoors.
Yeah, it's outdoors. It's a U of M Diag, which is a very popular place for events like this, and it's a perfect location. It's great weather out here. It's a perfect night for it.
Great.
Wonderful.
Does it seem like there's a lot of college students there?
Oh, yeah, quite a few. I know we spent a lot of time flyering the campuses around here and going to football games and getting people interested in this and letting them know about this, and a lot of people have showed a lot of excitement about it.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we certainly had a good turnout when we were at USC. Ron spoke at the University of Southern California, and we certainly had very healthy turnout on the part of the students as well. So it's exciting to see the young people stepping up and getting excited, you know, really getting excited about a candidate the way they're getting excited about Ron Paul. So let's see. Maybe if you wanted to go back to the crowd, you might be able to see if there's some people that you know that want to come on and make some comments to the listening audience about their support for Ron Paul, or how they're feeling about the day so far, or comments that they want to make on anything with regards to the debate. Do you see any of the organizers? Or
I could try, and I know there's a lot of people out there that would be willing to talk, but I'm pretty far away right now, and I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay.
If I go up there, it's going to be really hard, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Great. So he should be there in some minutes then.
Yeah, I expect him, you know, within a half hour or so.
Oh, in about half an hour that Ron Paul will be coming?
Within the half hour. Exactly.
Okay. Well, then since it's a little bit not unclear when he's going to show up, maybe we won't hang out that long for that. I thought if it was like imminent, like that he was going to be hitting the stage in a couple of minutes or something like that, we might hang out for that. But
it's hard to tell.
Of course. Well, why don't you go ahead and go back into the crowd see if you could find some of the lead organizers there, or even somebody from the campaign, and tell them that we're live on the air and we'd just like them to come on and maybe say a few words to people about how they're feeling about the about the day. Maybe if you find Paul or one of those other guys, maybe they'll want to come on and just say a few words to our listeners.
Well, I can try going in there, but I'm afraid that I'd be able to talk or hear you very well.
Right, yeah, because the music's really loud. Okay, that's cool. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for everything that you've done to bring this caller to people, and and to call in and go to the trouble. Appreciate it a lot. And let's go ahead and keep in touch and enjoy yourself. Have a really good time there. Scream your lungs out for Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And just really bask in the In the glow of this moment of freedom that you get to experience when you're at a Ron Paul rally. It's a special thing that we haven't seen in this country in, gosh, a long, long time, and who knows if we'll ever see it again. So better enjoy it while you can, and hopefully that we'll have more of this to be enjoying as the days, weeks, and months unfold. So thanks very much again, my brother. Keep the faith.
Thank you.
And I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so there was Jake calling in from the rally. We were hoping to bring to you, some of the crowd and some of the maybe even a little bit of Ron Paul speaking, but there's no clear idea about when he's actually going to be arriving and when the thing is actually going to get off the ground. So no sense in keeping Jake on the phone that long and using up his cell phone minutes. But thank you very much for listening into the show today. And I apologize for not having more of a prepared show. You may not realize, but in fact, I do several hours of preparation for every show, researching all the material, in many cases editing it so that it's presentable for you. It's a whole heck of a lot of work. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I hope that you're benefiting from it. What I'm trying to do is bring to you each day the very latest in the development of the Ron Paul freedom message, of the Ron Paul movement, of the freedom movement in America, and as it develops, literally. Sometimes things come into my inbox, so I find out about things literally minutes before airtime or during airtime, and I try to bring them to you. I feel like I'm just chronicling this historic development, almost like a historian, you know, but a historian of the current moment as it unfolds. It's very intriguing and very exciting, and my goal is that the archives of this show will stand as a record of these exciting days. And I hope that that you enjoy them and find it useful and interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and leave you for today. And I'm going to leave you with one of my all-time favorite songs by Midnight Ride, by Tom and the Gang. And this is the Ron Paul 2008 campaign song. Oops. One more time. Give that another go. Here we go. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Peace out.